Morning. Thank you, Jay. And what a day, isn't it? God gave us such a beautiful morning, and we just have to rejoice in this day, because this is the day that God has created that we may be joyfully and happily serving Him. I would like to open the Bible right away in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's begin to read from the verse 9. And the Bible is giving us such a great hope for us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Look at what it says in the verse 9. But is it written, eye has not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor hath entered into the hearts of men the thing that God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. If we jump to the verse 14 and says this way, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is righteously judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And the verse 1 in the chapter 3 begins this way. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but as a carnal, as a babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with a solid food. For until now you were able to receive it. And even now you are not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, you are not carnal. If we jump to the verse 16, and the verse 16 says, don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Let's pray. God, thank you for this passage that you are given to us to understand how we should approach to your word and grow spiritually. Oh, we pray, God, help us that indeed we may learn to dig deeper in your word, and allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and show us the nuggets that are deeper and help us to dig a little bit deeper in your word to understand your truth. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. It's amazing. When I am reading this passage, I could just picture Paul working 2 years in Corinth, teaching them day after day. And they were not able to grasp. After that, he was writing this epistle, they could not grow spiritually because they were not willing to allow the Holy Spirit that may work through them. And look at what he says. He comes to the church and he says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual people, for you are carnal. You know, some time ago I heard about somebody says that there is two kind of people in this world. They say they are givers who always give. And they are takers who always takes. Maybe you did experience something like this. But you know what the Bible speaks to us? That there is three kind of people. The first kind of people that Paul mentioned is in the verse 14. He says, the natural man. The natural man is unsaved man. He does not know God completely. He lives guided everything but himself. And then Paul mentioned and says about the spiritual man. There is a spiritual filled man, the man who desires, who loves God and his life. And that transformation, only God can do it through two things. Very important. And it's God has been giving us the tool to grow spiritually. And you know what? God gave us the Word of God and the prayer. And you are the one, is myself. We have to cultivate our heart. Our hearts have to be ready to receive God's Word. Amen? Unless you cultivate your heart with the Word of God and prayer, your heart is not ready to receive the Word of God. And that's why we're supposed to work on, not just run through the Bible, read it, just get a little bit deeper into the Word. It always amazes me when Moses died, God comes to Joshua, and you know what he says? Joshua, you are the man. Now, Joshua, you're going to lead these people. You are the one who I put my finger on, and you will divide the land for the Israelites once you cross the Jordan. And he met Joshua right there. And if you open the book of Joshua now, let's go to chapter 1. And look at what God says in the verse 2. He says, my servant Moses is dead. Joshua, you have to put those boots on and go on and do the work that I am commanded to you. You know, God doesn't ask the servant if you are willing. William, if you are willing to go. He says, William, you are the man. You have to go. Begin to work. And once God saves us, he does the same thing. He says, you are in the kingdom. You're supposed to get involved and begin to work. And look at what he says. He's teaching Joshua now how to be prosperous. Look at the verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe what is written in it. And look at farther. For you make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. You will make your way prosperous, Joshua. But there is two things. What you have to do, first of all, First of all, you have to meditate. And secondly, observe. And then you will make your way prosperous. I remember some time ago, a young man came to me and I talked to him and I showed him this passage. I say, you know what? You could be successful. Great man of God in this world. But you have to do what Joshua did. And I showed him this passage. I say, God wants you to be successful. And you know what? This young man took seriously. And he's successful till this day. He learned to love God. He learned to love his family. He learned to listen to God. And God gave him the best job. And he's successful. He was seeking. He was desiring to have it. Unless you desire, unless you seek, unless you ponder, that's when you're going to get it. God knows our heart. We have to go to Psalm 1. There is something that will reinforce what I am talking today. Look at the Psalm 1, the first three verses. David is writing and says, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornfuls, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring fruit in its season, and whose leaves never wither. And whatever he does, what happened? He prospers. Whatever he does. First of all, this man is meditating on the word of God, on the law of God day and night. Day and night, he's seeking. He's digging a little bit deeper. He's not running through the whole Bible. He's taking just a portion of the Bible, couple of verses, and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to him. Allow the Holy Spirit to be his teacher. You know, it's amazing that some time ago when I was reading the Psalm 23, I could not understand why the shepherd will make lie down the sheep on the green pastures. You know, the green pastures are to be grazed, isn't it? And says the first thing he says, he makes me lie down where? On the green pastures. Till one day, I saw a cow that she was laying down under the shade in the hot day. And you know what she was doing? What? Say it. Chewing the cud. That's exactly what God wants you. Get that portion of scripture and begin to chew the cud. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. You know, we're running to the books, and we're trying to learn from the books. I told one time, Pastor Jim, I said, I don't need books no more. I had enough of it. I need to chew myself. I don't want it somebody's chewing. Doesn't taste good. I will allow the Holy Spirit to be my teacher and that he may teach me and God show me this way how to do it. Take that time. Begin. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. And you know what? Today I want to show you three steps to grow spiritually. And the first step that I want to show you this morning, what God is asking from us, is to believe. Believe him, who he is, and believe the scripture. God is asking us to believe. If we go to Romans 4 and the verse 3, look at what it says. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham one day walked out from his father's house. And the Bible says in Hebrews that he didn't know even where he was going. In obedience to God, he went on the way. You know, Dina and I, we travel quite a bit in this country because we've been missionaries and we had churches supporting us across the land. And you know what they did in the 70s or 80s? The first thing that they did, they went to AAA and get my map. You know why? Because I don't want to get lost. I want to know where I'm going. And the Bible says that Abraham didn't know. He was waiting on the daily voice from God, how far God going to lead him. And you know what? He ended up where he's supposed to be. Because God was his guide. Amen? When God going to guide us, he knows where he's taking us. He's taking you and me to a better place than this one. Don't you know that? And we will enjoy eternity forever, right there in the presence of God. And says that Abraham walked with God. He obeyed God. He listens to God. You know what the other person? Peter obeyed God. Peter believed Jesus in a stormy night. Did you ever been in a stormy night? I've been. I remember one time Larry Adams was telling about an experience that he had with his daughter. Was the oldest, like in our family, was the daughter was the oldest one. And he says that he used to work in the church in Oregon. And then he says, like always in Chicago or Oregon, there is a stormy night. And begin to, you know, thundering and all kind of things. And I remember when we used to live in Chicago, and when the thunders begin and lightning, everybody runs where? To the bedroom, to the bed. And he says, Lady, the girl came in running to us, and then I took her back to her bed, and I say, you know what, Jesus is with you. I begin to pray, he says. I pray with her, and I was telling, he says, Jesus, it is with you. And she says to him, he says, Daddy, I know that Jesus is with me, but I need somebody with the skin on. This is the time when I need to feel somebody. And you know, that's exactly what sometimes we think. But God is expecting us to believe. Look at what says in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe, first of all, that he is, and secondly, that he is rewarder to those who diligently seek in him. God is. God never was. God never will be. He is. Amen. Why he is? Because he is eternal God. You and I were created for eternity. But he always lives in eternity. He never lives in time. He encloses you and me that we may follow the clock. And that's how the men invented the clock. But God never had. He lives in eternity, amen. And it's amazing that we are going to that place where we will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And I like this verse says, because, first of all, he says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, it's amazing that people somehow they're trying to find out other way. God says, no, you know what? I open one window to you, and it's through faith. You must believe who he is. Secondly, you must believe what he did for you. Now, already he paid, he died on the cross. You know, it's this week, I was in, Harbor Freight. How many of you know what is Harbor Freight? Oh, man, that's a men's store. Yeah. And I was, there was some sale, and I went there. And the line was long line. I never had that line standing so long. But in the same time, I took advantage. Somebody was in the front of me. I began to share my faith. You know, I never wanted through. I mean, shovel if the person is not ready to receive. And I begin to talk, and I right away find out that this person, the way that he responded to me, actually, before that we get into spiritual thing, I went quite a bit unnatural thing. And then I tried to blend in. And then I find out that she responded, that when I ask him, I say, did you ever thought, where are you going to spend eternity? He looks on me and says, oh, a long time ago, I'd make that decision. Then the other word that I told him, I didn't say after that anything. I make that decision where I want to be. My wife and the kids are going to church. I am so busy, man. I have no time. I am busy, man. But I know that being good and desiring to be there, gonna help you. I say, why not trust somebody who already did it for you? Prepare a place. He had no interest. I left him there with all this. You know, God is the only one. We have to just sow the seed and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. Look at what says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and the verse 13 says, kind of reinforcing this, and says, if you will seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. If you will seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. God is there. And you know that God is there even before that you get there. Because he is all over, and he's waiting for you to meet there and give you the strength that you need. The second point, God wants you to trust him. Amen? God wants, first of all, believe. Second, trust him. Trust. And trust comes only by experiencing God's faithfulness. That's when you develop trust. When you've been praying for something and God really met you and answered you the prayer, you experience God. You experience God. And that's when the trust comes that I really set myself on what it's teaching me, the Word of God. Look at in Hebrews 11:9 says, by faith, Abraham trusted God. By faith, Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise as a foreigner. A foreigner country, dwelling in tents with him of the same promise was Isaac, Jacob, the heirs of the promise. And look at what was happening. For he waited for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker who was God. He waited for a city. He lived in tent. Did you tent it? How many of you tented before that you really begin to camp? Well, we did as a family. And I am telling you, was the first experience that we didn't know that good how to sleep in the tent. My wife was terrified. And I choose a place that she find out the next morning. We went to conference, and was a cemetery just across the fence. And it's good that she didn't know that. And another time I experienced that we went by the Lake Michigan, and it was a rainy night and begin to leak. And then we get up in the morning, the kids been pulling those sleeping bags wet and crying out. And we had a lot of work to do. And finally my wife decided, said, you know what, we better go home. But then we got the pop-up. And that's where we enjoy it, most of our camping later on. The Bible says clearly that Abraham waited for the city which had foundation and builder was God himself. And you know what? The Bible says that New Jerusalem have 12 foundations. And he is the perfect builder, amen? Our hope is set on eternity. He is the builder. He knows what he does. We have to trust God and believe what he has prepared for us. Many times we are so wrapped up in the earthly things of this life. We're so busy with the things what we have, and we just not thinking about heaven. Look at what Paul is writing in Philippians chapter 3 in the verse 4 says, for our citizenship, it's in heaven, from where we also eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the verse 21, who will transform our bodies that it may be conformed to his, to Jesus' glorious body. You can imagine God, our citizenship is in heaven. You know what you are? To live on this earth is a stranger, is a foreigner. We have a better place. Now ready, prepared for us. Amen. Amen. Jesus promised when he was on this earth, he says, you know what? I am going to my Father's house. And what he going to do there? I'm going to prepare a place for what? For you. And when I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to that place that you may spend eternity with me. Let's trust him. Let's believe him first. Let's secondly trust him. And thirdly, the Bible is telling us that we have to obey him. Without obedience, you cannot please God. But before obedience, I'm sorry, I still have a couple more points to go on that. The Bible is telling us about Moses, that Moses was a faithful servant of God and his house. And I read the verse 16 and 13 in chapter 3, and Corinthian, and says this way, don't you know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. And look at the verse 17. It's a warning. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temples are you? God has chosen to live in a temple that is not made of man's hand. And as your body. Before, you remember the temple that Solomon built? God promised that he's going to be living there. And now, in the time of grace, it's you. And God says, you know what? Don't defile your bodies because they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know what the problem many times people have? Instead calling sin, sin, they call habits. And those habits are destroying your body. Don't you know that? Be careful. The Bible says that we should not defile our bodies because the temple of the Holy Spirit have to be holy. God is holy, and he expects we could destroy our temple, even with food. I have a good doctor and a friend of mine in Chicago. And he was telling me one time, he says, you know the problem with people many times? They kill themselves with fork. With fork. They love to eat. Others take alcohol. Alcohol, it's killing you. Drugs. Sex. Cannot defile God's temple. God's temple is holy. The last thinking about trust, I have to give you another scripture. And the verse, chapter Isaiah 26, and the verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind stays on you, on God, because he trusts in you. And look at the verse 4. The verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for he is an everlasting strength. That strength you and I need on the daily basis to live a godly way. And says, Father says, all your children shall be taught of God, and great will be the peace of your children. Let's go to obedience. Abraham obeyed God. He not only believed, he obeyed God. Look at what it says in Hebrews again. Hebrews 11, the verse 17 says, by faith, when he was tested, he offered Isaac, and he who has received the promise, because the promise was made in Isaac, offered up the only son. And the verse 18 says, what he believed, of whom was the promise, was the seed, his child's seed. And the verse 19 is, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dust. You know what? I really believe that when God told him to offer his son, he didn't share this with Sarah, his wife. He did not. He just took him walking. Actually, first of all, with the two servants, and then the mule was at the bottom of that mountain. Then he walked with the son, and the son was asking questions.
The daddy says, "Daddy, here is the fire." And he was loaded with the wood. He says, "Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb?" You know what Abraham told him? "God shall provide the lamb. God shall provide the lamb." And God provided the lamb for salvation, that is Jesus Christ himself. God provides. God provides. And you know what? The faith that Abraham had and obedience to God, he says, "You know what, God? I believe. I trust you. And I am willing, because I believe, because I trust, I am willing to obey. I'll do it. I'll do it. I will just do it completely because you're telling." You know what? In that same stormy night, Peter believed Jesus. When Jesus was walking on the water, Peter thought that was something else, remember? And he says, "Jesus, if this is you, tell me that I may walk to you." And you know what Jesus told? "Just come." I see Peter jump out from the boat and walk on the water. It's on cement. You know why? Because he believed Jesus' words. And he is the only man in the history that walked on water. Praise God. There is no other one ever that. Peter needs all the credit. Don't criticize that he begin to getting deeper. Don't. Just see it, Peter walking on top of the water. Amen? That's going to give you courage to follow Christ and believe his word and begin to trust him. Look at the verse 11 in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And the verse 11 says, after that whole experience, he just forsook everything and followed him. Follow Jesus. What is holding us back to follow Christ? There's anything that it's entangled you to give yourself completely and say, "God, I am ready. I'm not going to cost, because there is nothing that will not cost us that comes easy." No, there is sometimes that will cost even hardship and even problems. I've been seeing people following Jesus that have been kicked out from the house. From the house. Because the priest told the mother to kick her out because she believed Jesus. But God was gracious with her. Give her the shelter that she needs. Always God provides and gives the strength. Will you trust today and say, "God, I need you. As never before in my life, allow the Holy Spirit to be the center of my life, teaching me to love him and serve him from the bottom of my heart." And Paul writes so nice in chapter 12, the book of Hebrews says, that we have to strip off everything that entangles us to run the race. You remember that passage? To run the race that God puts you on that track. And you and I were supposed to run the race. And he says, anything that entangles us, let's strip off from us.
and look up to where? To Jesus.
He is the only one that we have to look into it and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We will do something different today. Today is, we're supposed to pray for our president. We didn't pray much yet. But before that you're going to leave this service, I will ask you one thing to do. And then Kate will come and they will sing. But at least we will take maybe 4 to 5 minutes to pray. And where you sitting now, just turn around to somebody. Right now, turn around to somebody and let's begin to pray. Amen? Okay, and let's pray for the president, because Frank Graham sent that message to us that we're supposed to pray today, and let's dedicate at least a couple minutes in prayer. Will you do that? I will be praying with Matt over here. And let's begin. God, we thank you again for such a blessed day. Thank you for the joy to know you. Thank you for the joy to serve you. Thank you for the joy to listen to you and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and gives us the strength that we may continue to walk with him. God, I pray for Matt that you may bless him and give him the strength that he needs. God, we pray especially for our country. We pray for our president. We know that he is not a perfect man, but he is a man that you put in that office.
I'd like to invite you to stand with us as we close this morning. And we're all here because we serve this risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know.
Thank you for saving us. Thank you for raising us from that stage of deadness. And today we could serve God in our bodies and our spirits, which are God's, because you bought us by the price that you shed your blood on the Calvary tree. And now help us to grow spiritually, to love you, and share our faith with others. We do pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.